Hello and welcome back to another edition of Stampede Radio. I'm your host, Chris Blystone, and I'm joined as always by Jim Campbell and Chris Shepherd. Guys, how is it going?
Hey, Chris.
Good. How you doing?
Doing well. Excited to be digging into a new week of football. And, you know, it's the first home game for the Colts. And so even though it's not going to feel like a normal home game because there's going to be 2,500 people in attendance, it's going to definitely be a different environment than being on the road. Some of the routine for the players maybe will be a little bit more normal than what you would have if you have to travel. So excited to see that take place. And yeah, just ready to see a better performance from the Colts, hopefully this week, than what we got last week. So very excited about that.
Yeah, it should be good.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So let's get a look here first at the injury report. And by way of big time news, we've got some updates on the injury report, which, you know, right off the top, Malik Hooker was back in practice, full practice. He was out with illness. And obviously, given coronavirus, that's a little disconcerting because you just don't know what that means. But he's back, which tells me that it was not the Rona. He's maybe going to be okay. So that's a good thing. Full practice, whatever it was that was bothering him, he has worked through. Also, Zach Pascal was back in practice, which is kind of surprising because we talked in the last episode about how we weren't sure with seven receivers on the roster if he was maybe going to be taking some time off or need to be out for a while. But he was back limited in practice. Doesn't mean he'll play on Sunday, but he was limited, and that's an encouraging thing as well. Justin Blackmon still working his way back, limited practice, but working through that knee rehab and everything. I don't know. We've said already, I don't expect him to be ramping up to play anytime soon necessarily, but we got some new guys on this list. Justin Houston on here didn't practice with a calf issue. Isaiah Rogers is still working on his, his ankle. That's new. Isaiah Rogers, the rookie, he was back to do some kick return duties. Although Ashton Doolin handled that pretty well, so I'm not totally concerned there. But Michael Pittman Jr. limited in practice with a toe injury. And that stinks because if you've read, and we're going to get into it, Shepherd's scouting report, there could definitely have been some room for Pittman to have a big game. And so you hope that that toe injury is not significant and that he'll be able to be a factor. But he's popped up on the injury report. All of those stink, but really the worst one and the one that's the most concerning is that Jack Doyle still has not practiced this week. And that's problematic because, you know, Jack Doyle is a very good player in terms of what he's able to do on third downs and things like that. But really the biggest area that he helps the Colts out is in terms of run blocking. He's an excellent blocking tight end and a very well-rounded player. And it's not going to be great if he can't play, because obviously it'd be good to have him in there. So two days of not practicing, that is not leaving me real optimistic that he's going to be ready to go on Sunday.
Yeah, it's not great, especially, you know, like you said, 2 days, no practice. His where he was probably going to be best this week was with run blocking. We'll talk more about it a little bit later, but the linebackers that the Vikings have are very good in coverage. And I think that Jack might have had a hard time, you know, producing on that side of the game. But yeah, as a run blocker, he will certainly be missed if he can't go.
Yeah, I mean, Mo Alie-Cox is good there, and it'll be okay. But you really like having Doyle there.
Well, we're just, you know, we're pretty thin at that position to begin with,
right?
In general, you know, and it's to have when your most consistent people, consistent players, go down this early, and especially for the home opener when we need to get spirits up a little bit. Jack Doyle actually helps with that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm still glad to see none of the offensive linemen on this list, and that's encouraging after they were on there last week. I didn't think they played great. They didn't play terrible, but they didn't play up to their usual quality in the first week. And at least we're not looking at them banged up with injury or anything like that, that would seem to indicate that they may extend that slump or anything like that. So if you want to call it a slump.
Wasn't Houston on the injury report last week with a calf? Also, I feel like he was at least limited.
I think he had a rest day maybe, but I don't really remember. I don't remember if they designated an actual injury or not off the top of my head, actually.
I can't remember if they did or not either. I know there was a day, so I didn't know if, you know, if that was the case, maybe something similar is going on today or what have you, but
yeah, I don't know. I'm hopeful that it's just not a major thing and they're just taking it easy. They do tend to do that with this team. They take any little injury and they rest. They don't go, especially with vets like Houston. He's gonna take a rest for any kind of insignificant injury just to make sure he's 100%. So,
I mean, practice is important, but at the same time, Justin Houston's been doing it a long time, and I mean, he's probably not gonna pick up a lot if he misses a couple practices. So, just let him sit and see if he can go.
Yep, definitely. All right. Well, let's just jump right into it, guys, because we've got a matchup against the Vikings, and it's not a team the Colts play often. We're not in the same conference, and so about every 4 years, unless both teams make it to the Super Bowl, they just don't see each other very often, and neither team has done that in a while. So,
I mean, you didn't have to bring it up, but yeah, I mean, that's true.
I mean, yeah. But so it's going to be a little bit of an interesting matchup to kind of get familiarity with one another. There is some common crossover in terms of, I think, coaching staff, kind of familiarity there, because I believe Jonathan Gannon, I think the cornerbacks coach for the Colts, was affiliated with, I don't know if he coached for the Vikings or if he coached for someone who is affiliated with the Vikings, but I feel like there was crossover there. Am I right there, Shepard? I thought that was talked about when they brought Xavier Rhodes over, that he had coached Xavier Rhodes.
So you're making me look bad here, because I honestly have no idea. You're not really making me look bad. That's you went much deeper than what I did, apparently, with the defense, because I don't. I didn't really look into that at all.
Yeah, he coached. So he was he coached with the Vikings from 2014 to 2017. Yeah, he was the defensive backs coach for the Vikings. So he's coached Xavier Rhodes. So he's got some familiarity with this coaching staff. Not that necessarily means anything. Obviously, things change, but there's some familiarity inside of that coaching staff and on defense with the Vikings. So that's just kind of interesting. But this is a team that, over the past really maybe 5 or 6 years, has been a pretty competitive and intense defense. And so that's really the area that I wanted to start in, because the Vikings have typically been a really good defense, but this year they've kind of got a lot of turnover on defense in terms of who is on the field. So talk a little bit to us, Shepard, about that defensive line, because that's kind of been a menacing defensive line in years past. And it's a very different one this year. And also they're missing probably their best defensive lineman in Danielle Hunter for the first at least 3 weeks of the season.
So Danielle Hunter, he's a guy that the past couple seasons he's had 14 and a half sacks 2 years in a row. So, you know, anytime you lose a guy like that, it's gonna have a pretty big impact. Now they did go out in, well, the preseason, what would have been the preseason, and they traded for Yannick Ngakoue from the Jaguars. And so he actually played more than 50% of the team's snaps last week. I expect that number to continue to go up. I expect him to eventually start. I'm not quite sure why he's not, if it's just they're just trying to bring him along slow or what. But Yannick Ngakoue is going to be the team's best pass rusher when the Colts play them this weekend. Outside of him, there's not really a ton of talent. When you look at, it's another one of those names, Ifeidi Adingabo. I'm pretty sure I said that wrong. But he had 7.5 sacks last year. or I'm sorry, it was 7 sacks. He had 7 sacks last year coming off the bench. He was a situational pass rusher. And as a situational guy, 7 sacks, that's a really productive year. So he's back this year. He's actually starting. But besides him, you look at Shamar Stephen. He's a guy, he is a returning starter. But a lot of people believed that he was going to be replaced as their three technique. A lot of people thought that they were going to be able to upgrade him. And it turns out not only could they not upgrade him, but they were pretty desperate just to have somebody back. And so they have him back as a starter again this year. They've got Jalen Holmes starting and Jaleel Johnson. Those guys did not play for the Brown, or I'm sorry, they did not play for the Vikings last year. So, well, I take that back. They were on the roster, but they didn't play. So when you look at this team, this defense as a whole, especially up front, they've had a ton of turnover. The guys that they had there last year, they couldn't really afford. They were getting older. And they weren't able to bring in, they did have a big free agent signing who opted out due to COVID. So really the only, they didn't get better. This group is worse than it was a year ago. Yannick Ngakoue is a big addition. It would be a big addition for most teams. But with Danielle Hunter out, you know, it's rough up front for the Vikings right now.
Yeah. And so that's from watching the game. I watched about the first half of the game that the Vikings had in week one. And obviously we're not going to judge too much on week one, because if we did, the Colts would be getting judged pretty critically. But they really struggled with really a lot of what the Packers were trying to do. And I don't know if this is your assessment, but my assessment, at least through the first half, was that there were a lot of things that the Colts do well that the Packers did really effectively. A lot of short swing passes to running backs, and they used, I thought in a lot of cases, used Devontae Adams in the same kind of way that the Colts did in week one with Paris Campbell on crossers and sort of these, you know, motioning him to the opposite side and using guys moving pre-snap to kind of confuse the defense. And it seemed to be really effective. They also did what the Colts didn't do for some reason. Once Marlon Mack left the game, they didn't focus on this very much, kind of because they didn't run, I guess, the ball as consistently through the game with Jacksonville. But they ran a lot of outside runs. And in your scouting report, you specifically kind of talk about, you know, that area of struggle for the Vikings. Is that something that you see the Colts utilizing a lot in this week, is the outside run?
So if I were the guy calling a plays, I would test it. And I would test it because in week one, the Vikings didn't look like they could set the edge at all. And obviously, if it's a safe play to get the ball to the edge, and you get a quick guy in the open field with, you know, making an open field tackle on a guy we talked about, Nyheim Hines. You know, he's not a super explosive player, but you get him on the edge and let him run straight, and all of a sudden he becomes really tough to catch and tackle. So if I were calling plays, if I were Frank Reich, I would at least try it. It might be something that the Vikings, certainly they're going to look at the tape and they're going to go, okay, guys, we've got to set the edge. And it might be something that they've corrected, but you got to test it. If I were Frank Reich, I would certainly call, you know, some sweeps, get that ball out there, try to get some misdirection going, you know, faking one way and running around the edge on the other. It's definitely worth a shot, and it's something I think the Colts will see them try. But the Vikings, it is very correctable. It's very fixable. So if the Vikings have fixed it, it may not work, but you got to try.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I don't think that they abandoned the inside run. You can't go right with exclusively outside runs. But one of the things that I noticed from watching the All-22 of the game was Ryan Kelly didn't have a great game in run blocking. He really kind of struggled to finish his run blocks, and that's a little unusual. He's very good there. So I don't anticipate that being a repeat occurrence. I think he'll have a better game. He'll bounce back. And that made a big difference at getting any successful run game going on the interior And so hopefully you get a little bit better performance from him, and then you can be hitting Taylor right in the middle. And obviously that's maybe not your best option with a pretty talented linebacker group for the Vikings. So let's just, I guess, jump right into the linebackers, because we've talked defensive line. You seem pretty impressed with this group of linebackers.
Yeah. So to start, they've got Eric Kendricks. He was an All-Pro last year. Eric Kendricks is the kind of player that you may not realize it, but pretty soon you're going to go, hey, you know what? I've seen 54 in on a lot of plays. And he's just, he's all over the field. He's rarely really out of position. And if he is, if he finds himself out of position, he's athletic enough to go catch up, to make a play from behind, or he's at least in the frame at the end of almost every play. Eric Kendricks is all over. He's a good player, good tackler. He's really good in coverage. The same can be said for Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr had a rough game in week one, but historically, Anthony Barr is a really solid coverage linebacker. He's like 6'5", but the guy can move. So Anthony Barr is another one of those guys that he gets around all over the field really fast. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back, how he rebounds after the week one. An interesting thing about Anthony Barr, you might remember he agreed to a contract with the New York Jets that was going to pay him like $15 million per year. He went to bed, he woke up and realized that he would rather die than play for the New York Jets. So he came back to the Vikings and he signed for a lot less money, which was probably a good move. That's really interesting. I have respect for Anthony Barr in that way. Not every guy is going to do that, and I don't blame anyone who signs for more money. But, you know, he realized that the Jets was not a great opportunity, even if the money was better. Anthony Barr is a very good player. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be a good player to get $15 million from the Jets. But he is, and he would have been worth that money. So those two guys alone, those are the guys that are going to be on the field most of the time. Eric Wilson is their third linebacker. He was on for more than 50% of the team snaps last week, and he may be on for more than 50% this week. But he's a guy really that's just going to play when it looks like the Colts are going to run. He's nothing to really write home about. But he's not a bad player either. But really, Kendricks and Barr are the two guys that they really impress me. Those guys fly around. Kendricks isn't a big guy. Anthony Barr is. But they're both solid and will present a challenge for our backs and our tight ends this week.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. It'll be interesting to see how that matchup works. The Colts, I think, definitely are going to – And you, this was kind of your assessment at the end of the scouting report, which definitely everyone should jump over and read, is that they do match up pretty well with this defense, kind of in the same way that they matched up well with Jacksonville, which is encouraging and not encouraging. I really think you come away from this week and feel like the offense really did some things pretty well. There was some execution issues and some things that were sloppy. And I think that the Colts probably should have stuck with the run a little bit more through this game. But ultimately, if the offense played the way that they played and you get a little bit better performance out of the defense, you think that's a win. And so probably it's safe to say that if the Colts could play that way, we'd be reasonably happy with it, with a few improvements and things that maybe would go a little bit better. So how about the defensive backs group? You know, traditionally that's been a pretty solid group. And again, you're thinking, you have a couple of 3 years ago, I guess, when Xavier Rhodes would have been very good, and has kind of fallen off a little bit. And then we decided that we needed to add him to our team. And he didn't have the greatest week one with the Colts. So what are your feelings on this defensive backs group? I know were a very solid group at one time, but where do they stand now?
Yeah. So like you said, they were a fairly solid group. First, I'll start with the positives for this group. Harrison Smith is a very good safety. He was underrated for a long time. He's kind of reaching the twilight of his career. He's 31, but he's still playing good ball. The other safety is a guy that they thought that they were going to lose in free agency in Anthony Harris, but they decided that he was so valuable. I think part of it was that he was valuable and just the amount of turnover they were going to have in their secondary. They didn't want to lose him. But Anthony Harris, they brought him back on the franchise tag. So those two safeties are guys that are capable of making big plays at any point. They actually worry me if Philip Rivers throws a ball up in the middle of the field this week, it's for sure getting picked by one of those guys. Harris, I believe, had 6 interceptions last year. You know, he's a guy that's looking for the ball. So as long as Rivers can, you know, keep the ball down and not do those silly things, then we should be fine. But really, that's I hear you, Jim. but that's really the where the positives stop. Because beyond that, the other three guys that are you're going to see most of the game, the corners, Cam Dantzler, Holton Hill, Mike Hughes, and Jeff Gladney. Those guys didn't, I guess four guys, those guys didn't play great. Gladney's a first rounder. He was a first round pick this year. Cam Dantzler was a third rounder. Gladney didn't play a ton. Not really sure why that is. But Dantzler, Holton Hill, Mike Hughes, those guys played a lot more. And they struggled. They struggled a lot. They struggled with good route running. So that's where, you know, T.Y. Hilton comes in. T.Y. runs good routes. Those guys aren't going to be able to stay with him on his good routes. They also struggle with size. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was able to go up and over. And, you know, he dropped some balls. That was on him. But the fact is Aaron Rodgers was throwing them up, and Valdez-Scantling was just easily going up and picking the balls out of the air over top of those guys. And Valdez-Scantling isn't a super talented receiver, but he is a big one. So, you know, Dantzler, Hill, Hughes, Gladney, they struggled really in all aspects, but especially with route running and with dealing with Valdez-Scantling's 6'4 frame.
Yeah, and if you listen to the way that T.Y. Hilton has talked this week, he was very upset with the outcome of last week's game. He was upset with his performance in it, and some of the things that he said gave you a very strong feeling that he was going to be coming out strong this week. T.Y. doesn't talk for nothing. I mean, when he says something, you can usually count on him having a pretty big game, and he's definitely going to be motivated for this game. I would not be surprised to see him have a big game against this young secondary. And like you said, I mean, if they struggle with good route running, he definitely has that to offer. Then the question is, what are the roles that you have for somebody like Paris Campbell? And I think that, you know, there is definitely plenty of opportunity in the film that I saw, the half of football that I watched. Aaron Rodgers spent a lot of time dumping the ball off to these. I mean, he had a great game, and I think they had like some 500 and some yards of offense. So it was a pretty impressive display by Green Bay. But if you watch that first half, now there are a couple of throws that are Aaron Rodgers wow throws. He does make a couple, and he makes a touchdown pass that is not something that Philip Rivers has the capability of doing, because Aaron Rodgers and about two other people have the ability to do that. And just a truly impressive throw. But a lot of his throws and a lot of their production on offense was really just from these dump off passes and letting playmakers make plays. He didn't do crazy things the whole time. It wasn't just flamethrowers all day. And that was encouraging to me. I think that the Colts have an opportunity to take advantage of those things, especially if you've got youth on the outside. You let T.Y. kind of do his thing, but you also have, you know, guys like Paris Campbell and Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor. We'll get to see what those guys can do in the passing game, and for Taylor as well in the running game. So definitely going to be interesting to see how they match up against this defense. As you pointed out in the article, and I guess we've talked about, it's a pretty good matchup for the Colts. Mm-hmm. Now they just have to actually, you know, play like it's a good matchup.
Yeah, that's all there's left to do. On paper, it looks like the Colts should do well. Again, it looks like that they should be able to run the ball. They should be able to throw the ball. Just avoid the safeties, avoid the linebackers, work the sidelines, really work the sidelines, pound the ball as much as you can on the ground, and the Colts should be able to move the ball and score points. But like you said, paper is different than the actual game, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm very excited to get a look at Jonathan Taylor as the featured back. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether that proves to make sense, but I'm very excited about it. All right, let's take a real quick break, and then we'll jump back in, and we'll get to the offensive side of the ball, and we'll be facing there. All right, we're back, and let's jump in to the offensive side of the ball. This is not the, at least in my mind, this is not the more talented side of the ball for the Vikings. Maybe I'm wrong in that assessment. We think primarily of them as a defensive team, and maybe that's shifting. But as far as offense goes, you've got the quarterback position. You start with Kirk Cousins, and I don't know that he is even close to the most talented quarterback that we'll face this season, but we just got torched by a sixth round pick, and we made him look like an all-star. So I don't think that we can take Kirk Cousins lightly. What are your thoughts on what Cousins brings to the table?
I don't think Kirk Cousins is as good as Gardner Minshew. I don't care where Minshew was drafted. Having watched both of them, I think that Minshew is at least mentally superior. I think he's a more accurate passer. Doesn't have Cousins' natural gifts, but I think that Minshew's better. So when I write these, it's interesting to see what the opposing fans take exception to and what they agree with. They didn't agree with my assessment of their offensive line or with Kirk Cousins' accuracy. So when I watch Kirk Cousins, every now and then he'll throw a deep ball that's beautiful and it's perfect and it's on the money, hits his receiver in stride, and usually they score points. Those are rare. Most of the time when Kirk Cousins is throwing the ball beyond 10 yards, it's going high, it's going wide. And it could be that he is super conservative and he is just afraid to throw the ball anywhere near a defender. And so he's missing them with the idea of, okay, my guy's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. But he does it so often that it's so rare that he's going to complete anything deep. So maybe that's not the same as being inaccurate. But if you're not willing to fit a ball in a tight spot deep, then it doesn't matter if you're accurate or not. You're not hitting those deep shots. So the Vikings fans didn't like that too much. I don't see a deep, inaccurate deep ball thrower. Kirk Cousins is really, really good when he's throwing 5 to 10 yard passes. He can really deal. He does have a good arm. He can get the ball. He can fit balls in. He just doesn't do it very often. And watch, I say that, and he's probably going to go out and do nothing but that. But that's just what I saw. That's what I saw on the tape. In my article, I talked about how much they've paid him and if he's worth it. I don't know that he is. Most of the time, I think that that's a ridiculous question for the quarterback position, because if he's a good quarterback, then the answer is yes, absolutely. He's worth it, whatever they pay. But I'm not sure that there aren't other quarterbacks who can do almost what Cousins does. The thing that Cousins does well is that he really doesn't turn the ball over that often. So that's really the big part to Cousins' game. If you have a quarterback who can read a defense, Cousins can. And who has a big arm, Cousins does, and doesn't turn the ball over, Cousins doesn't, then, you know, he can win you games. So I'm just not sure that he's anything special, but he's a solid quarterback. And if the Colts let him, he can beat him. But, you know, I don't think that Kirk Cousins is going to take over any games, including this one this Sunday.
Well, one thing that he has going for him is that he is not going to be facing behind a sieve of an offensive line. The Vikings offensive line seems like they're pretty solid, maybe not great, but a pretty good offensive line. Really, in both phases of the game, it seems like they run block and pass block reasonably well. They're certainly not a bad offensive line necessarily, which means that you're going to have to see a big step up in production from the defense, because we didn't do a great job against what I would say was a worse offensive line, and not particularly close for the Jaguars, and the Colts didn't really do much of anything. So I don't know if that's your assessment as well, but I'm definitely thinking that this offensive line should be able to hold its own unless the Colts defense makes significant improvements.
I could also say the other thing he has going for him is that he has the opportunity to throw in Malik Hooker's direction. So he doesn't have to worry about said tight windows.
Well, I mean, okay,
and that's my Malik Hooker burn for the day.
All right, Jim.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Now that we've trashed Malik Hooker. So the offensive line, like I said, that was actually, people were more upset about the things I said about their offensive line than they were about me calling their starting quarterback inaccurate. And I said that the Vikings had a good offensive line, because when I watched the tape, they played really well. They were really good when they were asked to move. So their last season, they were the second lightest offensive line in the league. Only the San Francisco 49ers had a smaller offensive line. And they're small because they're asked to move a lot in the system. They're almost exclusively a zone run blocking team. So the linemen have to get up and they have to move. They also run a lot of bootlegs, a lot of play actions where the offensive line is moving all in one direction while the quarterback boots the other way. And these guys move really well together in unison. They're certainly not perfect, but they're good at that. They're good at what they do. And I don't know if Vikings fans just don't like the system that they have, or I don't really understand. When Kirk Cousins is asked to drop back and pass, every now and then he does get some pressure. It's the NFL. Your quarterback's going to get pressured. But what I saw was a good offensive line. I think that they're definitely a better run blocking unit than the Jags. I think pass blocking, you could make the argument that they're close. They're close there. But run blocking, the Vikings open up a lot more holes. You can't have two running backs average almost 5 yards a carry and not have a good offensive line in the NFL. It just doesn't happen. That or you have an insanely talented backup, and the Vikings have a good backup, but he's not insanely talented. So, you know, their offensive line is good, not great, but they are fun to watch if you like watching offensive line play. The guys move really well in unison together.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the guy who I would say, and I haven't watched them enough to say this with confidence, but the guy I would say is probably their best offensive player, and that's Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. Because he seems like the runaway best player on that offense. He's certainly the player who was the most exciting and eye-catching to me as I'm watching them. I feel like, and maybe this is a bad comparison, but he reminded me a lot of Marlon Mack in terms of some of the things that he can do. Maybe a little bit more explosive than Mack, but a lot of the similar type of a game, likes to do those outside runs, has pretty good vision, good explosion, good acceleration. I kind of felt like that was the natural comparison in my mind as I'm watching him. Sometimes the Colts don't struggle with that type of back as much as, you know, a smash mouth down your throat kind of back. How do you think it's going to be dealing with Dalvin Cook? And I mean, do you think that he is a major threat the Colts need to be worried about?
So I think Dalvin Cook is very talented, but I think the Colts are going to struggle not all because of Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook's talent is certainly going to add to the problem, but the biggest problem is that the Vikings offensive line moves so well laterally that the Colts maintaining gaps, their gap assignments with that offensive line moving left or right like it's going to do, it's really tough, especially in a one gap system where the Colts defensive line is trying to just knife through and get penetration. That's their whole goal, is just to get upfield. And if you've got to get upfield, but you've got to move left before you do it, and you're trying to move left, you know, 5 or 6 yards before you get up. Well, you know, you're trying to get the whole defensive line to move the same amount before they go forward. All of a sudden your gap assignments are all messed up. So really that's the big concern, is maintaining gap assignments. And it's going to be huge for the Colts this week if they can do that. Now, where Dalvin Cook comes in is that on most zone plays, especially the number of outside zones they run, you've got three options. Your first option is to bounce outside, to look that way. If the defense hasn't maintained the edge, if they haven't set the edge over there, you bounce it outside and you get as many yards as you can there. Next, your next read, if they have set the edge, is inside. If they haven't maintained their gaps, you look inside. Your third, if they've maintained it, in that one, the middle on the inside, I'm sorry, the right side. So if you're running outside to the right, in my head, I'm envisioning an outside zone to the right. Your third read is back to the left. It's back to the backside of the play. One of those, most of the time, is going to have a crease somewhere. And against a team like the Colts who get upfield, you're going to have an opportunity in one of those three reads most of the time, because it's just so hard to fill those gaps when they're moving left and right as fast as the Vikings do. And Dalvin Cook is really good. His vision is really, really good. He's really good at finding those gaps, finding those holes, and knifing through. He's got lateral agility, and he's quick enough to see the hole, hit it, and get upfield as quick as he can. I think Dalvin Cook's probably going to have a big game. I hope he doesn't, but just given the way that they play offense, I think Cook's in for a big day.
Yeah. Well, I also hope that he does not.
right, yeah.
But I do think it is interesting because it seems like the Colts sometimes fare better against faster backs. They do have a very athletic linebacker group. One of the things that I noticed, and you probably noticed this as well, and I hadn't put my finger on what I was seeing, and Zach tweeted out a film clip of Bobby Okereke just kind of crushing the running back against Jacksonville, and he was really good. I kept seeing him, and at first, honestly, I wasn't sure who I was seeing, because I think he's changed numbers. Wasn't he 58 last year?
He may have been.
And I think he's 54 now. And I was very confused by this. And I keep seeing him, and who is this guy? Who is this guy who's in on this play? Well, it was Bobby Okereke, and he really has got to maybe be in on a little bit more of this game. He seemed like he really had his run fits. And that, you know, goes well with your season prediction for a breakout, because I believe that was your guy your breakout player this season. Yeah. So exciting to see what that linebacker core is able to do there, but definitely going to be a big focus for them. What about their receiving core? Because we know they lost Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen was hurt last year. He's back. So what does that receiving core look like? How talented are they? And the Colts obviously didn't do well against a pretty talented Jaguars receiving core, but what are they up against this week?
Yeah, so Adam Thielen's obviously the guy that kind of jumps out to you first. You know, he's a good player. He's going to be tough to cover for most teams, and the Colts are no different. So they're going to have to worry about him first. The number two receiver is he's a guy that returning from last year, former seventh round pick. So he's he's kind of beat the odds, made the team, and he's been a productive player. His name is Olabisi.
Yeah, Olabisi Johnson. That seems right.
I'm just going to call him Ola Johnson. Yeah. But he's a number two. The guy, again, he's overcome a lot. He's not a superstar by any stretch, but he's a good player, and you can't leave him uncovered, right? So you got to cover him, but obviously Adam Thielen's going to be the guy that you worry about there. They also drafted a first-round receiver this year to kind of make up for what they lost with Diggs. But Justin Jefferson, first-rounder, I believe out of LSU. So he's a guy that, you know, he's a rookie wide receiver. In recent history, we've seen those guys come on really fast. Historically, they take some time. So it could go either way. You don't really know what you're going to get out of Jefferson. I wouldn't be surprised with whatever it was, but certainly something you've got to think about too. The biggest threats to kind of, I say that, but against the Colts, I don't necessarily think that that's true. But in most weeks, I think the biggest threats for, you know, to have mismatches for this offense, I think are their tight ends and Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith Jr. Those two guys are both really good. Rudolph's a little bit older, but Irv Smith Jr. Is very talented, and they play both of them a lot. So those are guys that can give you some matchup problems. I think the Colts with the linebackers we have, they'll be fine there. But those guys are good.
Yeah. Well, all in all, it seems like it's going to be an interesting matchup. I expect the Colts to have, I hope that they have a much better game, and we ought to see significant improvement just in execution from the team. They were a little sloppy. They were first week. Hopefully they get a little bit better, a little bit cleaner. But yeah. So if you haven't read those pieces, they're up on Stampede Blue. Go check those out. They're definitely worth a read through. All the information you could want to know and more about the Vikings. And yeah, definitely check that out over on Stampede Blue. So to close out, guys, what I wanted to do before this game is make a few bold predictions. So let's go around and throw out some kind of predictions about what we think we're in for this week. Lots of interesting ways we could go. Jim, I'm throwing it to you. What is your bold prediction for this week?
So I had a lot of time to think about this while Shepard was being way smarter than me and talking about the Vikings, and you know, I was working out hooker jokes.
Yeah, I really thought you were just gonna come up with more hooker jokes.
Well, give me time. He's got time to be worse, and we'll see. So, but I was like, do I go bad? Let's go positive. Let's get some positive in here. So I'm gonna say this is Taylor's welcome to Indy game, and he is going to have 127 yards on the ground.
Oof, that is awfully
and 183 combined. I'm getting real specific.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if I hit on this, I'm a genius.
No touchdowns, though, huh?
No, I'm not going to go for that. We don't need that.
Hell, that is a lot of yards. That is a lot of yards and no touchdowns. That's fantastic.
I'm just going for the yards. I'm just going for the yardage. I'm getting specific enough here.
You're not saying that he couldn't score. You're just saying that you're not gonna predict that.
Not gonna predict that. Oh, no.
Okay, that's better. I it would have been very interesting if he just had 183 total yards and no touchdowns.
Can you imagine how unlucky you would have to be? Like, you just get tackled at the three every time. Like,
break off a 50-yard run and just get shoestring tackled on the one.
Yeah. That'd be great. Like, four times.
And then they hand it off to Nyheim Hines, and he runs it in. It's like, come on, man. Yeah.
Well, like I said, you know, about the last game, the statistical anomaly of looking at the stats of the game outside the score and go, well, the Colts won that game. And then, you know, they the reveal that they didn't. You're like, that's dumb. Maybe we get a similar thing with Taylor this time. I hope not. I hope he, you know, at least has a couple in there, but I'm not going to predict those because I actually want them to score points.
Yeah.
So
well, Frank specifically said in his press conference that they got away from the run and that they weren't diligent to stick with it and that it was some of his play calling that was problematic. So I anticipate that you are right. They're going to stick with the run, and they should, because the Packers had a lot of success with it. It wasn't on every down, but they stuck with it. They did not abandon it when it wasn't effective, and because of that, they were able to do a lot of damage. So I anticipate that you're probably right. I think that we'll see a lot of Jonathan Taylor, and I think that's a good thing because there was, I mean, he didn't get 2,000 yards every year as a, you know, college running back for nothing. So we ought to be able to get some good production out of him.
Hope so. We need it.
All right. So my bold prediction for this game is that it's going to go to overtime. I see this as a really evenly matched game. You know, I was trying to come up with a bold prediction. I'm like, well, these teams are pretty even overtime. So that's kind of the way I see it. I think that it's not that I think that both teams are going to want to win the game. And I think that both teams are going to have more success on offense than defense. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that it's a blowout for the Colts. But I see this one going five quarters.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, as I was watching this game, watching the Packers Vikings game, my takeaway was kind of that same thing, that this is a team that's going to be very evenly matched with the Colts, mm-hmm. which is kind of great because it could be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah.
I think that the Colts' strengths match up well against them, but they also do some things pretty well that are struggles for the Colts oftentimes. So it could right. definitely be an entertaining game. Let's hope it does not come down to kicks. Oh man, please don't make that happen. We really don't need to see a game that comes down to kicks. I don't want to talk about kickers. I don't want to think about kickers. I just do not want to do that. So I could see that. Well, we've got very specific bold predictions here. So I feel like I'm going to have to put together a really specific one because right now it's like, you know, we've got 183 yards from scrimmage. We've got going into overtime. It feels like if I say so-and-so is going to have a good game, that seems pretty lame.
You said it, not me.
Yeah,
I think Philip Rivers is going to play quarterback.
I expect him to say "dadgummit" at some point through the game. Oh, he absolutely will. And
yeah, I know he will, but it's just so annoying.
Maybe my prediction should be how many times.
I hope it's not many.
No.
But unfortunately, you can probably hang your hat on that prediction.
But I mean, I think he uses it in multiple different ways. So he could use it as a form of very weird dad trash talk. And I don't know. I'm not gonna try to tackle that one. That seems as risky as Jim's touchdown proposition. I don't want to try to guess how many times Philip Rivers is going to say "God damn it." So, or shoot. So what I think I'm going to say is I hope that Jim and I are both correct on this. I don't mean to try to say that I don't think Jim's could be correct as well, but I think this is going to be, Paris Campbell's welcome to the NFL game, where he just kind of goes wild, because there were definitely some hints at that. And as I was watching Devontae Adams, kind of going wild, I think he had like 140 some yards. I mean, he had a big game. I think he had 14 receptions or something. He just looked like they struggled with his specific skill set. And, I don't say that they're the same skill set. And so I don't know that's specifically why they struggled with him, but they definitely struggled with getting guys the ball in the flat. They struggled with guys getting the ball in motion across the formation. They struggled with guys who were getting the ball in little crossers and things like that. And so I would not be surprised to see Paris Campbell have a big game and break a couple of big plays off. He already did. I mean, he had a very good game. I think he had, 83 yards or something. So it wasn't like he had a bad game last week. But I just think that they're going to have to pay a lot of attention to T.Y. Hilton. They struggled with receivers who run good routes, so probably Hilton's going to get a lot of their attention. Paris Campbell could have a really big game. So I'm going to say Paris Campbell breaks 100 yards and has two touchdowns.
Ooh,
I like it.
I'll take that.
I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Pittman robs him of those two touchdowns and it ends up being Paris Campbell having lots of yards and Michael Pittman cleaning up in the red zone. And I'd be fine with that too.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll see, but I'm excited to see that chemistry definitely seems to be there in terms of Philip Rivers and Paris Campbell. I would like to see that because it means that he's throwing the ball probably short and letting Campbell do the legwork. And that is a good thing for Philip Rivers. Helps him avoid those safeties like you talked about, Shepard. So probably in my mind, getting the ball in the passing game to Nyheim Hines, Paris Campbell, and you know, Jonathan Taylor occasionally, T.Y. Hilton. Those are good things. Throwing deep is a less preferable option. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, it may be fine, and we may be overreacting to a few stupid mistakes, and Rivers may have a really good season throwing downfield. He had some really nice throws. But I would rather him utilize those weapons short and let them do the yards after the catch thing for a while and kind of get familiarity with that receiver core before he starts totally cutting loose and ripping and ripping. So,
I mean, for me, it's a combination of things, right? It's a combination of the fact that that's where we've seen him, you know, really mess up in the past. And also the fact that the Vikings are built to literally take advantage of somebody who's throwing bad passes over the deep middle. So those two things together, you know, you gotta hope that he's hitting those flats early and often.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, do you guys have any other bold predictions, or is that your I don't have any more, but if you have another one or you want to go around again, I can come up with one.
I have an unspoken bold prediction for every game that ultimately, until it comes true, Ben Banigou is the rising MVP of the game. I'm not going to say why. It's just always there.
Okay. That's
well,
fair.
I hope you're right. I hope you're
someday,
right.
Mate, I probably
that's not a bold. Right. That's not a bold prediction. That's a wishful prediction. That's just
it,
like,
it really is. It's just my hopes and dreams.
Just Jim sitting in the corner longingly looking at Ben Banigou's picture, hoping that this is going to be the week.
Come on, Ben. You got this, bro.
maybe it will be the week. I'll be excited if it is.
I'm
all
probably
right, guys.
The only person who will buy his jersey. I haven't done that yet.
Well, him and his mom, yeah.
Yeah. His mom didn't buy it, though.
Well, maybe.
I'm not sure that it's available. You might have to like have it custom made at this point.
Yeah, you will. And they'll probably spell Banigou wrong.
They probably will. I'm going to fly from Central Florida to Lucas Oil, not on game day, just a random day. Go to the pro shop, be like, give me one of them custom Banigou.
Yeah.
Like, are you related to him, sir?
Nope.
Is that G-O-O? No.
No.
All right, guys. Well, let's wrap this up. We've got a good week of football ahead of us, and hopefully we'll get better access next week to the All-22, and we can review this this weekend matchup a little faster. That'll certainly help us get a podcast turned around. Hopefully my children will sleep. That certainly helps me sleep, and then turn around a podcast a little faster. We'll try to get this out next Wednesday. We'll have our recap podcast. And don't forget to jump on and leave us a rating and review. We certainly appreciate those. We will, if we start getting some traction, I'm going to say if we get like 10 to 15, we're going to say 15 reviews. If we get 15 more reviews than we have right now, we will get in talks with somebody to start running a contest and another giveaway. And maybe we'll give away a Ben Banigou jersey.
No, guys, but more. Hey, listen, leave reviews. Don't we'll talk Chris out of the Ben Banigou jersey. We'll do something better.
You can keep trying to talk him out of it. I'm going to keep encouraging it.
Guys, we'll make sure it's not a Banigou. Okay.
maybe we'll
will we?
maybe we'll go like DeForest Buckner or something like that.
Maybe
so.
We could give away a jersey of someone who plays. And also a Ben Banigou bobblehead or something like that. Let's do a combo.
I think the chances that there is a Ben Banigou bobblehead are pretty slim.
About as good as finding a jersey.
If we don't think the Colts Pro Shop will carry a jersey, I'm doubting
maybe,
that there's a bobblehead.
Maybe we can have a Ben Banigou bobblehead commissioned
we could get
Bobblehead Inc.
We could get all the Ben Banigou rookie cards for sure. Let's just send those out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But seriously, though, guys, we will try to get some sort of a contest going. But 15 reviews first. You have to buy us off before we're willing to do that.
15 reviews or no Banigou. You've heard it here.
Oh, God, it's never going to happen now. People are going to specifically avoid.
Just so they don't get stuck with a Banigou jersey.
Gonna be people deleting their reviews, right? Just going in and erasing them. All right, guys. Well, jump on there and leave those reviews. We appreciate it. Check out all the good stuff on Stampede Blue. We'll have a few more things rolling out this weekend before the game, and obviously stuff going up there all the time. So check that out. Lots of good stuff there. Follow us on Twitter at Chris Blystone, at NFL Scheme, and at Jim Campbell 81, and interact with us there. We definitely appreciate it. And love to have a chance to talk with you guys. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys next time and hopefully have a better result than we had this past week. We're hoping for a good home win. But until then, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Later.